it going? Okay. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Glad you're here. Beautiful day. A little chilly, but beautiful day. And we're going to pick up in our lesson we were looking at a couple of weeks ago. But we're going to start with a word of prayer together. Father, thank you for this morning, this time we could be together. Thank you for this Sunday school hour. Just ask your blessing upon not only our class, but the children's class downstairs. Be with us as we continue our Sunday school time. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we're in Lesson 3. We started it 2 weeks ago. Of course, last week was a blessed week with the baptism service. But we're back today, normal schedule. This Sunday school, the topic for this Sunday school series is developing a better relationship with God. And just as a way of review, we talked about how one of the very important things that have to take place for any relationship to develop is communication, right? Could you imagine if a newlywed, you know, they get married and they talk, but then when they get married, they don't talk anymore. You know, your relationship is never going to develop. I actually started last night a premarital counseling with some friends of mine that are getting married, some friends of mine children that are getting married, and so I was doing a Skype counseling. The future bride is in Montana, the future groom is in Massachusetts, and I'm here in New Hampshire. So we had to do long distance marriage counseling, but anyway, premarital counseling. And I mentioned how important communication was. It's probably one of the most important things you bring into any relationship, because if you don't talk about things, all kinds of problems arise. But dealing with our subject here, developing a better relationship with God, communication is key. And who remembers, how does God talk to us? Through the Bible, right? Through His Word. Whenever we hear it, whenever we read it, through the preaching and teaching of His Word, that is God communicating to us. So every time the Bible is opened, God is speaking. Now, what also goes along with communication? There's talking and there's listening, right? So, you know, I'm guilty of this, and I'm sure I'm not standing here alone. A lot of times we see people talking, but we don't really hear, right? We tune them out or whatever, you know. We're listening, but we're not hearing, you know. And, you know, a lot of times that happens. You know, Sandy came upstairs the other day, and she said to me, have you heard anything I've said to you? And I said, that's a strange way to start a conversation. Of course, that's a joke. But seriously, sometimes isn't that true? Isn't that true? We don't listen. And of course, there have been times that I've been guilty of this. I've read the Bible, and I've said to myself, ooh, what did I just read? So what was I not doing? Listening. You know, so we have to be good listeners when God is speaking to us. So, you know, we talked about, His Word and doing things that would enhance that. You know, one of the things, I am very easily distracted. Is anybody here very easily distracted? Okay. So I need a quiet place, right? Things distract me. And, you know, it's best when you do your devotions to put this away somewhere where it doesn't distract you and get used to. Oh, yesterday I went to the Bible conference at Hill, and they had the Bible memory people there. And they said that statistics have shown that you retain more from a book than a screen. This has programmed people to scroll and catch tidbits, and your brain doesn't hang on to things like that. So, If you're doing your devotions the old-fashioned, have a book, okay? I'm not against Bible. I'm not saying that, you know, but for me, it's best to not even have this thing around, because I don't want to hear the ding or the, you know, and while I'm listening to God. And because, you know, if it's important, people will leave a message, right? If not, well, it's not that important.
I was always told in school that, you know how writing something down helps you remember it? Reading does the same thing.
Yep.
Like, that's why they had you do book reports instead of,
And writing something down, like say you're trying to memorize a Bible verse, writing it down is equivalent to saying it seven times. So you could say something seven times, you know, and it somewhat sticks. You write it one time, it's equivalent to that. But anyway, that's, you know. So what am I saying? We need to be good listeners when God is speaking. He has no problem communicating with us. He has, right? He communicates to us through creation, through His Word. If we're in tune with Him, He communicates to us through His Spirit. And then we communicate to Him how? Prayer, okay? Does God have a problem listening? No. He always listens, okay? He never has a problem listening to us. He always hears our prayers. He always answers our prayers. And then a couple of weeks ago, the start of this message, we saw how we need to deal with sin, okay? And one of the important things of developing any relationship is being right with people, right? Let's think of the husband and wife again, you know. If you're mad, it's not good, right? The Bible tells us, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You know, for a married couple, that means don't go to bed angry with each other. You know, those days' problems solve. I mean, maybe you can't solve the problem that day, but at least talk about it, you know. And don't let the sun go down on your wrath, you know. And you know, Peter talks to us about dwelling with our spouse, you know, so that our prayers be not hindered. But we want to deal with sin. Now, we talked in the beginning, and we'll talk about it at the end of this message again, this lesson again. But when we sin, as believers, we don't lose our salvation, okay? But sin does affect our relationship with God, right? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, right? And so sin... sin interrupts that fellowship with God. So we saw the importance of, you know, if we want to receive divine forgiveness of sin, cleansing from sin, we know 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's a promise, and God will do that. But what do we have to do? You know, we have to first repent. And where does repent take place? In the mind, right? In the mind, in the heart. And I'm going to repent of my sin. I'm going to change my mind about my sin. I'm going to change my direction. I'm going to agree with God about my sin. And then I confess it. And confession comes from the mouth, where we're saying the word, you know, Lord, this sin, you know, oh, Lord, I repent of it. I confess it. And then what happens? He cleanses us from that sin. So, and of course, all sin is against God. Okay? But I could commit a sin that's just between, so to speak, me and God. So I confess that. But sometimes my sin affects other people. Right? And if my sin affects other people, I need to go to them and get it right and make it right, right? I need to ask them to forgive me, right? And then what is the responsibility of the person who gets asked to forgive? To forgive, okay? So if I come to David and I said, boy, David, I'm sorry that I backed into your car and I caused, you know, all that grief and your headlight broke and, you know, I'll make good for that. I'm really sorry. You know, David, being the nice guy that he is, says, no problem, Pastor Dan, you know. And then, you know, or maybe there's another time, you know, I run David's toe over when I'm leaving here and, you know, I break his toe and he gets angry with me. He doesn't forgive me. You know, that's, you know, now, that doesn't mean that there aren't consequences, right? It doesn't mean that there might have to be something I have to do. You know, maybe I stole something from you. I need to return it. You understand what I'm saying? There may be consequences. But still, there needs to be forgiveness. Okay? So are we good? We're up to where we are so far?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sorry about that. Wear your steel toes next time. Right. In what way? What do you mean? Like not with God.
Like with David.
Okay. Sure. Of course. I mean, anytime the minute we go to God, we're forgiven. You know, and sometimes people don't forgive us.
Right.
What do we do then? I mean, you can't make somebody forgive you. You know, but you've went to him, or them, or she, or they. You know, you've gone to them and they have, they're not, well, you can't make somebody forgive you. So sometimes that happens, right? You know, no matter how hard we try, sometimes that happens and it's not good. So
sure.
I mean, if you're, you know, if you're running to get your, you know, M16, I'm not going to, you know, at that time. Hey, Charlie, how you doing? You know, so anyway, so that's that. So now we're picking up in number two, to avoid sinning, okay? Any questions before we go on? Andy, you look like you have something you want to say. Right.
So that leads me to think that forgiveness doesn't always have to have the other person.
Right. I mean that's extreme situation. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah. And forgiveness is really for the offender.
For the offender. Offended. Right. Right.
Forgiving somebody, let's say I forgive David because he ran over my toe.
Right.
Me forgiving him does something for me.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, I think it does, though, do a little bit for him because he realizes you're not angry at him. You know what I'm saying? You know.
That goes back to the fellowship.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
It may be an abusive situation.
Sure, exactly. Right. Right. There's a lot like that. What happens if a husband and wife have to separate because, you know, he's abusive, you know? And you know, forgiving is one thing, but putting yourself in that situation again is another thing, you know. That I mean there's no, you know, ABC 1, 2, 3 with a lot of this stuff, you know. Some of it there is, and some of it is Christianity 101. You know, hey, I've offended you. Well, I mean, I'm not being, you know, but we need to get over this and move on. But you know, sometimes there are grander situations and problems. You know, hold that thought.
So, like said sometimes it doesn't need to be another person. I told you about my mom and her sister.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she told my mom to go die, and, you know, a bunch of other stuff happened. But mom has tried to reach out and forgive her and all that.
Yeah.
So...
You can't make somebody forgive you. You can't make somebody forgive you.
So,
it's on your aunt.
You don't need to, her mom forgive her, but she's
yep.
not.
But you don't, you know, you can't make somebody forgive you, you know. And then the Bible talks about forbearing one another in love. You know, a lot of times if you just need to put up with that. Sure. Exactly. Always, you know, the proverbial ball is in their court, so to speak. And if they should reach out to you, then you can begin the talking and the process. So you can only do what you can do. Exactly. You can't make somebody forgive you. You can't, you know. Right. And then in the case of abusive relationship, you know, if the separation happens and he's like, oh, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, you know, then there needs to be some proof of repentance, right? Proof of repentance. What is proof of repentance? Seeking in ways to make things right. You know, how does the man who committed adultery with his, not with his wife, but on his wife, how does he, you know, she may forgive him, but how does he now, you know, show those fruits of repentance and move forward? So, you know, depending on the situation, it could be there's consequences, you know, and maybe some people can, you know, I forgive you, you know. And you know, but maybe some people can't do that right away, and depending on what it is, it takes time, you know. And that's the whole thing about relationships, right? You know, and we know relationships are sticky.
It's okay
and
in those types of relationships
to say, I need some sure, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Right, because, you know, what does the Bible say about a brother, who, you know, somebody who calls himself a brother, if they're in continual sin, what does Paul say to do? Stay away from them, you know, keep away from them, you know, and that's what happened in 1 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, he had to write the book because the guy said, I'm sorry, I want to come back, and they weren't letting him back, so, you know, and we really, I say we collectively, not just us, but, you know, we really don't get this right often, you know, and we need to get it right, because a lot of times there's little things we get upset about that really, you know, what is it Peter who says love covers a multitude of sins, you know, a lot of times, sometimes somebody says something, I hear, I don't, you know what? Why even bring it up? You know, if you know you bring it up, it's going to cause a problem. Why? And just be like the duck, you know, water off your back. You know, sometimes that.
Sometimes you're in a mood where that little thing just sets you off.
Yeah, and then that's your fault, you know, because, you know, I could joke with you every morning, but this morning you didn't have your two cups of coffee, and I say the same joke to you, and you get all, you know, torqued, you know. Build a bridge and get over it. I mean, no, seriously, but you know, yeah. But so what I want to say is there's no pat answer. You know, oh, forgive me, I forgive you. Oh, everything's hunky dory. That's not always the case. Okay, a lot of times there's needs to be fruits of repentance. A lot of times there needs to be time. You know, a lot of times there needs to be healing. Because a lot of times, you know, when we sin against each other, what happens? Hurt, right? And hurt takes time to heal sometimes. But there always has to be that avenue open for reconciliation. Because that's the key. Reconciliation. Reconciliation with God is always possible. reconciliation with man is not always possible. Sometimes people don't want to be reconciled. You know, they're pleased to, oh, you hurt me. One too many times, that's it, you know, and they forget about the 70 times 7. Okay? Sure. I mean, are you willing to say to Christy, you know, it's okay for you to beat her up again? That's, you know, that's not good, you know, if you're an abusive husband. You know what I'm saying? And so, again, some things we can make very broad brush statements about. Other things we have to look at every situation differently. You know, God is not for divorce, you know. The Bible makes room for separation, you know, and you know, sometimes divorce happens and it's out of your hands. What do you do? You know, and that's, you know, that's where life sometimes gets sticky, you know. Okay. All right. James chapter four. So, one of the things that we need to try the best as we can is to avoid sinning, okay? If I'm an alcoholic, where should I not go? To a bar, right? You know, to a liquor store. You know, because what am I doing? I'm tempting myself, right? If I'm a gambler, what two cities should I not vacation in? You know, Atlantic City and Las Vegas, right? You know, I shouldn't, or wherever else there's, you know. Yeah, so, you know, so we need to avoid sinning. Now, we can't always avoid sinning, can we? Because, you know, it's going to come at us from three ways. You know, temptation is going to come at us from the world, the flesh, the devil. So sometimes, you know, the world, you know, sometimes we can go places, or I should say not go places to help us not sin. Okay. And, you know, the flesh, we always have the flesh with us. So what do we have to do every day? Die daily, right? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So we need to die daily. We need to put on the whole armor of God. And the devil, you know, we can resist him and he'll flee from us, as we'll see. But notice it says, James 4:7, it says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So what is the positive in this statement? Submit yourselves, right? That's the positive. That's the admonition. So what do I, to avoid yielding to temptation, what do I need to do? Submit to God. What's the negative? Resist the devil, right? So I need to resist him. Submit, resist. You know, that's two opposites there. Submitting to God means that I obey him. I realize what he says is true. I'm going to submit to him. I'm under his authority. Resist. I don't want anything to do with the devil. I'm resisting him. Okay? You know, it's not, come on, devil, give me your best shot. You know, no. You're going to lose every time. Okay? It's resist him. And when I resist him, what does he do? He flees. Right? So we must not yield to temptation. We must immediately submit ourselves to God. Is it a sin to be tempted? No. Okay? It's just we sin when we give in to temptation. Okay? Now, if I know I'm going to go somewhere and I'm going to be tempted, that's a whole other story. You know what I'm saying? But we're purposely doing the best we can. We're not going to put ourselves in situations, you know. One of the things we always did and we continue to do, it's harder with phones, But, you know, we always had our computer in a central location. Back was never up against, you know, it was always for everybody to see, you know what I'm saying? So if you're on a screen, no matter what you're looking at, everybody can see it, you know. The kids were not allowed to have computers in their bedrooms, you know, things like that. When it came, well, when our kid, we were raising our kids, they just had the very simple, remember the first cell phones, and you had to text by hitting all the different letters or the numbers, you know, so, you know, but still, nonetheless, they didn't take those things to bed. Everything stayed downstairs, you know, in the kitchen and whatnot, so, I never got into that texting things, but man, the boys would be, you know, and anyway, so that's a whole other story. So yield, we must not yield to temptation. We must immediately submit ourselves to God. Now, is this possible? What does Philippians 4:13 say? I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. So, you know, we must resist temptation in God's strength, right? With the armor that He provides us, with the Spirit that He provides us, with the Word that He provides us, with the people that He provides us, right? One of the things that we have done through the years is we've helped people with addictions, right? And what's one of the things with in the process of their sobriety and getting their mind straight again, you know, surround yourself with people who will help you in your journey with Christ, not who will help you get back involved in your old journey. So God has given us many things to help us avoid temptation. Okay? And let me tell you this. I think I might have said this a couple of weeks ago. I'm not preaching, you know, perfectionism here, but friends, we don't have to sin. You understand what I'm saying? We sin when we give in to temptation, okay? When we sin, it's not a lack on God's part. It's a lack on our part. Whether we didn't put on the armor, whether we didn't pray, whether we met whatever the temptation was in my own strength and flesh, you know, and that's when trouble happened, you know. We say, we might not verbalize these words, but we say, don't worry, God, I got this one, you know. Train wreck, you know. So, you know, so we might not verbalize those words, but that's what we're saying, you know. So, and then we must avoid temptation. Look at 2 Corinthians 6. There's a doctrine that we preach, and it's called the doctrine of separation. And sometimes we need to separate from people, places, and things that would cause us to sin, right? 2 Corinthians 6, 17, Paul says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Okay? And so what do we see here? We see God telling us, you know, some things you need to separate from. Some people you need to separate from. Some places you need to separate from. Some teachings you need to separate from. You know, whatever it may be. Because, you know, they're not in line. They're in the context here, what fellowship has Christ with Belial? You know, what communion has light with darkness? You know, so there's a clear line drawn that you and I should not cross. And when we separate ourselves, not isolate ourselves, okay? There's a big difference between separation and isolation. Separation, we separate ourselves from people, places, or things that may cause us to sin. Isolation is when we think we're the only ones who got it right, you know, and everybody else has it wrong. And we isolate ourselves sometimes from the resources and the people that God has given us to help in our sanctification. Okay? So, you know, we need to separate. sometimes. In 1 Thessalonians 5, and verse 22. Abstain from all what? Appearances of evil. Okay? So I'm even going to abstain from the appearance of evil. Not just abstaining from evil, but I don't even want to do anything that looks like I might be doing wrong. And this has a lot to do with our testimony. And, you know, we need to be careful where we go, what we do, how we look, you know. And we need to be careful, and just because what don't we want to do? Ultimately, we don't want to sin, right? We don't want to disappoint God. We don't want to disappoint our Heavenly Father. We're His children, right? It's a bad reputation. You know, what kind of image are we showing to the world about our God? One thing that I said last night in the marriage counseling, you know, according to Paul in Ephesians 5, marriage is a picture of Christ and His church. And so what kind of picture are you going to display to the world by your marriage about your Savior? You know, are you going to display the proper type of picture? And that's a challenge. But, you know, we could say the same thing. We're children of God, right? What kind of family portrait do we have up? You know, what does the world see our Heavenly Father as? Okay? All right? So, avoid sinning. We must not yield to temptation, okay? We have to submit ourselves to God. By submitting ourselves to God, the devil flees from us, okay? We must resist this temptation in God's strength, not in our own. And we need to avoid at all costs areas, people, places, things that we know will be a problem for us, okay? Questions or thoughts on that? Okay. Right. Well, that's yeah, that's true, and that's part of, you know, that's part of lifting up and doing all to the glory of God. You know, what kind of picture, you know, how does our life glorify God? What do we do that makes our God look good? You know what I'm saying? And of course, we should do everything we can, you know, to make our God look good. There's a YouTuber that I watch. He's a Jewish believer. He's a pastor in New Jersey. And he has a blog that's on, or a, whatever you call those vlogs now. And he showed the Turkish parliament. This is going back a couple weeks now. The Turkish parliament, a man got up in the Turkish parliament and cursed Israel and said Israel should not exist. And he cursed the God of Israel. And he wasn't even done with his statement, and he dropped dead at the lectern in front of the Turkish parliament. Dropped dead, like that. And it's on, just a couple of weeks ago, it's on I don't remember what the name of his vlog is now. So, you know, sometimes God defends himself. But, you know, and but we should, you know, when people say wrong things about God. You know, we need to correct that error, you know. So I don't know. If you did, I'm not remembering it. Wow. Be careful. If I drop dead in the pulpit, I hope it's not because of something I said wrong. I'm not being, you know, sarcastic, but... Sure. Yep. That's Christianity 101. Yep. Yep. Okay, so how do we apply this to our lives? So dealing immediately with sin when it occurs and avoiding as much as possible those things which would normally defy us enhances our fellowship with God. James, again, we were in James, but again, I'll read it in the we read verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Notice verse 8 to 10. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Okay? So the nearer we get to God, what does he do? He gets closer, right? Does God ever say that's close enough? No. The closer you draw, what does he do? He meets you there. Draw near to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify ye hearts, ye double-minded. And be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, this sounds like a real downer of a passage, but what is James telling us? You better be serious about our walk with the Lord. We better be serious about our life. We better be serious about sin. Excuse me. We better not dabble with it, play with it, you know, think we can handle it. And we need to draw nearer and nearer to God. Again, I used an illustration. I'm sorry I keep mentioning last night. But if your relationship, you know, your marriage is like a triangle. So you have the bride and you have the groom at one end of each end of the bottom of the triangle. You have Christ at the top. And your goal as individuals is to draw near to God, right? But your goal is also, as a married couple, to draw closer together. So how do you two draw closer together? You draw closer together as you both grow closer to Christ. So the closer you are to Christ, the closer you are to each other. And, you know, that's why, you know, Christ has to be the centerpiece of our marriage, you know. And he has to be number one in our marriage, you know. And so the closer we grow to Christ, the closer we grow to each other. So, you know, we need to draw near to God. And if all of us are doing that, as individuals, you know, we're growing closer to Christ, what are we also doing? Growing closer to each other, right? So, we need to stop those things that would defile us. So if you're born again today, you've been saved from sin's penalty, right? When you and I sin, Jesus paid it all, right? When I was saved, the day I was saved, past tense, Jesus paid sin's penalty for me. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died for me. He took my spiritual death upon himself, and he died for me. So, I will never pay sin's penalty. Praise God. Okay? Someday, we will be saved from sin's presence. That's future yet. Okay? We will be saved from sin's presence when you and I leave planet Earth, whether it's by death or rapture. Okay? And then we will be saved from sin's presence. But today, present tense, where we live, where J. Vernon McGee says, the gospel walks in shoe leather, where the rubber meets the road. We are being saved from sin's power. Right? It's a process. It's sanctification. Our being. So, you might have a victory today, but tomorrow, you might not. You know, so we are being saved. It's a process. It's what we call our daily sanctification. Okay? This is where this lesson really is dealing with. Because we're never going to pay sin's penalty. Right? We're going to be saved one day from sin's presence. We won't have to worry about sin. But today, what about today? You know, this is where we need to communicate with God. This is where He communicates with us. This is where we need to deal with sin right away. Okay? And, don't yield to temptation and sin. Avoid it in the power of the Holy Spirit and enjoy fellowship with God and victory over sin. And next week, what we'll look at, I think it's on the back of some of your notes. Next week, we will look at lesson 4, and we will see how faith comes into play. What does faith have to do with our daily walk, if anything? Okay? It's got a lot to do with it. You know, so we'll see what faith is. And faith isn't... Faith isn't done. You know, oh, I've put my faith and trust in Christ. You know, the Bible says childlike, that's childlike faith, right? But for the rest of our Christian experience, man, I need dump truck loads of faith, you know, and that's what we'll be talking about next week. Okay? Any questions? Last minute questions? Thoughts? Is all over this. 6, 7, and 8, really, right? You know, yeah. You know, we want to eventually get to chapter 8 in our life, right? And we will, you know, and we will. But that's the problem. We're still here. You know what I'm saying? And we still have to deal every day with sin. And I watched a interview with somebody once, and you know they asked the person, what's going to be the greatest thing for you about heaven? And of course he said, of course, being with Jesus, of course. But the second thing, he says, I won't have to deal with sin anymore. I won't have to fight with sin. You know, so. Good? I don't remember offhand. I will get about with the guy that dropped dead. I'll get that to you. I got to look it up on my computer at home. I have it. You know, a lot of times when you just hit a favorite, you don't, you know, but I'll get that for you. Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh. Yep. Amen. Amen. Good stuff. All right. Clear as mud? Good.